Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a blessing to be here. I want to welcome Northmont Classics and Springboro. It's an honor to be here today, and we are really excited because we're going through a great series. Who's loved the series so far? Amen? Yes. Awesome. Yes. I have grown through it, and we are going through different characters of the Bible so we can learn what it means to leave a legacy. And really, today's choices impact tomorrow's legacies. So we're going to learn about a guy named Joshua, one of my favorite characters. What we learned about what he did in the Bible and how he was a great man of faith and courage. If you could turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 1, please open your Bibles or devices as we go through the scriptures. You know, this summer was a great summer. I'm sure a lot of you went on vacation. We just went to San Diego. My wife's family's from San Diego, so we go up there once a year just to visit her family. And this summer I tried a new sport. It's called paddleboard. I don't know if any of you have tried paddleboard. It looks really easy, doesn't it? You know? And so you stand on this giant board. It's like an oversized surfboard or an oversized windsurfing board. And basically you have this paddle and you just kind of pleasantly glide along, right? That's the way it's supposed to go, right? And so anyway, we go to the beach. My brother-in-law, Phil, he just bought this paddleboard and I want to try it out. And there's the beach and there's the ocean, which is a lot of waves and it's a little hard to paddleboard. Then there's this lagoon. The lagoon is connected to the beach, and so it's nice and calm. So we go over there. My son, who's 11, he tries it first, and he nails it. He gets right on, gets the paddle, and just pleasantly just glides along through the entire lagoon. Looks really easy, really simple. He comes back, and I'm like, man, I want to try this. And so Phil, who owns it, said, hey, let me give you a couple pointers. I said, I'm good. Wrong move, right? You know, I've maybe surfed before. I'm from Ohio, so I don't have a lot of surfing experience, but I'm like, I can handle this. So I grab the paddle, jump right on. There's a certain place on the paddleboard you're supposed to be, right? And I wasn't on that place, right? So I get on the board, and it starts to hobble back and forth. I'm like, this is not good. And next thing you know, it just flips underneath me, and I fly back into the water like a backwards belly flop, right? Completely soaked. Everyone on the beach got a great laugh, right? And then I come up, I'm like, Phil, I think I need some pointers, actually, when it comes to the paddleboard. But what happened next, I noticed something was in my swimsuit pocket. I look in there, guess what? It was my cell phone. Yes, thank you. Thank you for your encouragement. And I had to buy a new one, by the way. So I reach in there, it's not waterproof, and I look at it, it starts to do this weird, like, convulsion, starts to shake, and then just goes kaput, black. And the cell phone is gone. And I'm like, oh Lord, first day of vacation, right? And you gotta take pictures, so I had to buy a new cell phone. But what I learned from that is there's consequences when we don't pay attention to instructions, right? And if I would've just listened to Uncle Phil, right? My son did, and he worked out real well, but I didn't listen. And guys, the same way, church, when we don't listen to the instructions, this is our instruction manual, amen? And when the Word of God is meant to instruct and to guide us. But what happens in leadership, it's really following the leader. Because Jesus is our ultimate leader. And he says, if you follow me, there'll be blessings. But sometimes along the way, we kind of just do our own thing. We think we know what we're doing, and we kind of disregard the Word of God. We disregard the instructions. Consequences happen. But when we listen to the Lord, just like Joshua, there's blessing and there's victory. So let's learn from Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. God gets straight to the point, right? He's like, my servant is dead. It's your time, Joshua. Time to step up. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about ready to give you, to the Israelites. I will give you every place you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, to the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days I will be with you. And I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. See, what's happened, it's been 40 years. They've been wandering for 40 years in the desert. And Moses is not able to go to the promised land. He passes away. And God takes that mantle of leadership and puts it with Joshua. He says, it's your turn, right? Your turn to take the people to the promised land. But Moses was nervous. He was scared. He was intimidated. He's going from a role of second in command to leading over 2 million Israelites, the CEO of Israel, right? He had big shoes, literally big sandals to fill, right? And here he is like, okay, what do I do? God is saying, I'm calling you to lead. And church, this is our first point of leadership. We're all called to lead, the call of leadership. You see, it's interesting. He's called Moses' aide. That means servant. See, God looks at leadership as being a servant. First point is this, a faithful servant makes an effective leader. A faithful servant makes an effective leader. That word servant, you know in the Bible, it's interesting. The word leader in the Bible is only found 6 times in the entire Bible. The word servant is found over hundreds of times in connection to leadership. Because God doesn't look for power, prestige, and prominence. He looks for a servant that he can build up. And that's what he's looking for in Joshua. And here's the good news, we can all serve. You know, whether we're 8 or 80 years old, God says we're all called to lead by serving. Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but I came to what? To serve and give my life as a ransom for many. I love this quote. Watchman Nee says, not until we take the place of a servant can he take the place as Lord. When we take the place of a servant, God is Lord. I remember like Josh when I was first called into ministry. I grew up in Ohio and I moved out to San Diego where my wife lived and was working in advertising. I was in an ad agency and I loved to serve in the church. And so over the course of 2 years, I would spend more time at the church and even serving on the weekends than doing other things. And so I was like, man, I got this passion for God. And a mentor, a pastor said, hey, have you ever thought about being in the ministry? I said, not really, but I'll give it a shot. So I quit my job in advertising, literally a month before I got married. We were married and I started this internship at this church in San Diego, kind of like the residency program here at Fairhaven. So for a whole year I served in different capacities, men's ministry, young adult ministry, but my year was coming to a close. And so I'll never forget the night, we were breaking down from this outreach, breaking down tables and had a great outreach that night at the church. And my associate pastor, Dave, came up and he said, Jared, I want you to pray about something. I said, sure, what is it? He said, I want you to pray about taking over the youth ministry. It was middle school kids. He said, Surfer Dave was a pro surfer and he ran our middle school ministry and he was loved by the kids and awesome guy. He says, he's gonna start a new ministry with surfing. He's taken off. I said, sure, I'll pray about it. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't wanna do youth ministry. I don't know the first thing about students. I know young adults, I know men, you know, that's my thing. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll pray about it. I'm thinking, I haven't even stepped foot in a youth ministry that entire year of serving. And he said, well, good, because you're gonna start next week. I said, what? He said, yeah, he's leaving next week. And you know what, Jared, the Lord's hand's upon you, which in church terms means we have no one else to do the job, right? So when a pastor says that to you, just realize, no, I'm just kidding you. And he's like, God's hand's upon you, you're gonna do great. And I'm just thinking, oh my Lord, you know? Have courage, do not be discouraged, do not be afraid. And Surfer Dave was like this icon, you know? The kids loved him, we had like over 100 kids. And I'm like, I got some literally huge sandals to fill. You know, I don't know surfing, I'm from Ohio, I know football. He even had a skateboard ministry that I had to run, I didn't even skate. And so all these things are coming together and I'm like, okay, here we go. And it took about a year, but God used that ministry. I served there for 6 years in that youth ministry. And God started to open my heart. He started to break down things and build things up. And it was amazing where even though I didn't feel necessarily called to that ministry, the Lord knew I needed to be there. And he called me, and God did a work through it. And so sometimes we may be in situations where we don't feel necessarily called to a ministry, right, at the time. But we step out in faith and say, Lord, here I am. I want to serve. And God does the rest. The next point is this. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I love that quote. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So there's so often in ministry, I was not qualified for youth ministry. But he builds us up. He uses us and molds us into his image as we step out. And there's so many blessings. See, my heroes at church or the people behind the scenes. Right now, the people who are serving in Sunday school, who are building up young lives for Christ. The prayer warriors, the servants. We all have a gift. We all have a burden. We have a set up teardown team in Springboro every Sunday morning at 7:30. It's not always fun, but it's a blessing because we get to do it with people we love and we get to serve Christ. You see, you want to leave a legacy? Serve the Lord, and you'll leave a legacy and have blessings like no other. And that's what Joshua's going through. He's knowing that he's going to be called, but God's going to equip him to do it. What's next? The promise of victory. The call to leadership, the promise of victory. This is important, church. What does he say? He says, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I have given you. That's past tense. I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. This is phenomenal. This is amazing. You see, what the Lord's doing, he's saying, Joshua, I've already given you that land. He promised Abraham hundreds of years before that this specific territory would go to the Israelites in his covenant. And it's amazing that he's saying, it's already yours, but you have to be faithful to walk in it. And he says the same thing to the Christian. We have an abundant life that God has for us. We have blessings that God has for us in Christ, but we have to be faithful to claim it, to walk in it in faith. You know, it's interesting. I heard a story recently. It was in the news. The New York Lotto, right? There was someone who won the New York Lotto, and it was a $24 million ticket. So in the New York Lotto, you have 1 year to claim that ticket, or it expires. Well, it was coming up on 1 week to the expiration, and no one had brought in the ticket to claim the $24 million. Can you imagine that? And so they sent out all these broadcasts and said, hey, if you've got this number, look under your couch, find it, because in like 3 days, it's gone. 2 days before it expired, the owners of the ticket showed up. They claimed their prize. They asked them, they said, well, why didn't you come in? And they said, well, we just forgot. We left it in some drawer, and we just forgot about it. Can you imagine? They would have lost out on $24 million of riches. And I think about how this connects with this, and I think there's so many times when we forget about the Lord, when we get too busy in life, and we don't claim the riches of his forgiveness, the riches of his grace and his peace and his mercy. And God says, I want to give it to you. But we have to say, Lord, I want to receive. I want to walk in faith to receive that. You see, that's what was going on with the Israelites. For 40 years, they wandered. You know, it's interesting. When they crossed the Red Sea, when Moses led them out of the Red Sea, you know the story where he put the staff in the water, boom, it parted the Red Sea? The minute they left the Red Sea, it would have taken them 12 days to reach this land, the promised land. How long did it take them? 40 years. 40 years, because they were just wandering. And my prayer as I read this for me and for you is that we would not wander in our faith. Because what happens, the promised land signifies the abundant life that God has for all believers in Christ. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can start to wander in our faith. We can start to go through the motions in our faith. We can get apathetic. And you can feel the desert, can't you? Because you don't feel his presence. And God says, come back to me and I'll reveal myself to you in my presence. And so God has plans for you. I don't want to miss out on the blessings as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as just a disciple of Christ that God has for me. But I will miss out if I don't focus on following Jesus every step of the way, right? See, Satan cannot steal your eternal life, but he can wreck your abundant life. And that's what Satan wants to do. He can't steal your eternal life. Once you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 10 that he would not let one of his sheep be stolen, right? He protects us. Your eternal life is secure. Your saving faith is secure. The question is our walking faith, right? And the promised land represents this not a place, but the presence of God in our life, the blessings God wants for us in our life, the contentment in Christ, the contentment in our families and our marriages. You see, the promised land is walking in the presence of God and trusting in his promises. And when we do that, there's victory, just like we're going to see with Joshua. And we got to remember this about victory. Remember that you fight from victory, not just for victory. You fight from victory. Joshua's going to be fighting from victory because God has promised him the victory is his. God will help him. In the same way, God tells us the victory on the cross has given us victory, right? The Bible says we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That means we can overcome even situations that are tough in life because he walks with us through the situations. You see, the Lord didn't tell Joshua it was going to be a cakewalk, but he said, I will be with you, right? Interesting enough, too, guess what the word Joshua, Joshua's English, guess what the translation of Joshua into Greek is? It's Jesus. Translation of Joshua in English to Greek is Jesus, and then to Hebrew, it's Yeshua. You see, Joshua is a type of Christ. He's a representation of what Jesus does for us as he leads us from the wilderness to the promised land. And when we get that, there will be blessings, he promises. So how do we claim these promises? What do we do? There's some conditions. Let's read on, verse 7. It says, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn it from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Underline the word then. This is important. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see, God gives us promises. Promise of the promised land, the blessings he wants for our lives and our families and our kids. But he says there are some conditions. His grace is free, but he says we need to step out in faith. And that's the conditions we have. Well, what are the conditions? We're going to see them in a second. But first he says you have to be strong and courageous. Three times in this passage. It's interesting. The word strength or strong in the Bible is the Hebrew word for kazak. And I love that word, kazak. If I have three boys. If I had one more boy, I'd probably name him Kazak. Kazak Petty. Doesn't that sound good, right? That's strength. So wait, turn to your neighbor and say, you have Kazak. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor, say, you have Kazak. There you go. But now you have to say it in an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice, right? Say, you have Kazak, right? Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. This strength, it's not the Arnold strength we're talking about. Right? It's not physical strength, it's spiritual strength. The word kazak literally means to depend on God for his strength. It's like when David defeated Goliath. Right before he defeated Goliath, remember what he said? He said, the battle is the Lord's. He said, I'm not going to defeat you, I'm a little shepherd boy. But he said, I know who will. And it's through God's strength we overcome. And so we need to rely on his strength, and not just the big things in life, the little things. Everything we do, God says he wants to give us his strength. And when we have his strength, what happens? We have courage to do those things. So what do we need? Here's the first one. The conditions of success is this. First of all, listen to the voice of truth. Listen to the voice of truth. There's a great song about that I love. That means listen to the word of God. If this is closed, how can there be power of the presence in his life? We need to open his word for his instructions, right? We need to be in tune with the word of God. Joshua was in tune with the word of God. And because he was in tune with it, God told him he would have success. You see, Joshua knew that the voice he listened to would determine the direction he would walk. You see, the voice we listen to determines the direction we walk. You've probably seen that little cartoon with the angel and the devil, right? You know, we're all listening to all sorts of voices. And God says, if you listen to the voice of truth, he will always direct you around that good path. But there's all these other voices in our life, the voices of lies. And we have to exchange the voice of lies for the voice of truth, the voice of fear. What are some voices of fear? The fear of failure. The fear that you're not good enough. The fear of what others think of you and comparing yourselves to others. The fear of your future. The fear of finances, the fear of sicknesses, the fears are prevalent. And it's not that we're not going to have fears, we are. The question is, what do we do with those fears when we receive them? Do we listen to those voices and walk along those paths? Or do we exchange those for the voice of truth and walk with God? Fear, to me, is a feeling of being out of control. Because when you're out of control, you don't know what to do. But when we trust and know that God is in control, that he's sovereign, then fears can go away. You know, it's interesting, my boys love to go on roller coasters. So we've been hanging out at Kings Island lately and taking on some roller coasters, but my middle son used to be scared to death of them. He's only 9. I didn't ride a roller coaster till 8th grade, so he's definitely had a daddy at this regard. But so he's 9, and so last year we started doing some training with him, and so we started in the Snoopy coasters, right, Snoopy Land, and worked our way up. So this year he was walking by this one roller coaster called Banshee. Maybe you've ridden Banshee. And this is a scary roller coaster. It's not just scary because of the ride. It screams at you, literally. And so basically we're walking by. He's like, Daddy, I want to ride that, but I'm just scared to do it. But he says, will you ride it with me? I said, sure, I'll ride it with you. I didn't really want to ride it, but I will. So we're in line the whole time. He's got like my little pant leg. He's like, Daddy, you're going to be right beside me, right? I said, yes, I'll ride right beside you. You'll be right beside me. So he wanted to make sure I was right next to him. So we get to the part where you get on the, you know, the ride, and my other son, who's older, he just jumps in between us, not knowing our conversation before. And Luke's just like, no, get out of that seat. Daddy's right there. And so we get hitched in, and I said, Luke, let me give you a little, some advice. Just scream the whole time. It really helps, right? And I still do that, right, as a 40-year-old. I'm sure these kids are looking at me like I'm crazy as this adult screaming the entire ride. And he's like, okay. And so we go on the ride, and this ride, you're twisting and turning and stomachs flying everywhere, right? And finally we end, and I'm just nervous. I'm like, I hope I didn't damage him for roller coaster future. You know what I mean? I hope I didn't like totally take him on that ride he shouldn't have gone on. And I'm looking down to see if he's gonna be in tears, and he says, let's do it again. You know, he was so excited. That was awesome. And I said, well, how about you do it with your mama? You know, because me and Banshee don't get along too well, you know? But he loved it. And now that's his favorite ride. How did he overcome his fear? Daddy was right beside him, my presence. And he's telling Joshua, because Joshua's nervous, he's scared, he's fearful, he's saying, I will be with you. And we hear that all the time, that phrase, but are we allowing it to sink in our hearts? That the Holy Spirit is in us, that God, his presence is with us, that no matter what we battle, he will be there. He will be there to encourage us to fight our battles and to walk with us. His presence is with you, church. And when the fears come, we listen to his promises, then we can walk in his presence. What else? Encourage one another. Listen to the voice of truth. Encourage one another. The word meditate means to mutter. It means to speak out loud. There's times I need to speak the word of God to myself to know that the truth is secure, but also to each other, to have a small group, to have people in your life that you can encourage. I've got a friend who pretty much every morning he texts about 8 of the guys this Bible verse, and I look forward to it. And I never know when that one verse is going to make such an impact in my heart to encourage me. You see, you need people in your life that don't tear you down, but build you up. Find some good fellowship where they can encourage you in your walk, and good friends. Also, how do we get the conditions of success? Apply his word to your life. It's just obedience. It's simple. But that's the hardest part, isn't it? It's one thing to hear the Bible, it's another thing to live it out. Obedience. You know, Jesus said after the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you hear these words of mine, and you put these teachings into practice, not just hear them, but put them into practice, what did he say? You will be like a house built on the rock. And when the storms come, the house will stand. Apply these to your life. It's very difficult, but God can use that. Maybe it's even changing what you listen to. On your drive to work. I know for me, I'm choosing to do one verse a week and to live it out. To put the verse all over my home. This week, the verse is do everything without complaining and arguing. Philippians 2:14. Yeah, good luck, right? And I need it. But I need to see the word. So even accountability with my wife and my kids and my peewee football team, you know, do everything without complaining or arguing. Take one verse and apply it to your life. God will use that. Then what's the result? What's the success? He says, then, after we hear the word, after we apply it, he says, then you'll be prosperous and successful. And I know you've heard this before. You've said, you know I need to read the Bible. I'm not asking you to read the Bible. I'm asking you to know God. And this is the way we know God. And it's through his word. So success. Success is not what the world looks at, right? Success in the world's eyes is having the big house, the cars. You know, you can have a big house, but a lousy home. God cares more about the home than he cares about the big house, right? He cares about the family. He cares about the things that really matter in life. And when we get to the Lord, he tells us those things, what brings a legacy, the things that matter in life with our families and our children, the legacies we leave. I love the quote by Tim Tebow. He's a role model as a leader for myself and my boys. And Tim Tebow said this, true success is not measured in physical possessions, but in the amount of lives that you change. True success is not measured in possessions, is it? Those all go away. But in the amount of lives that you change. And I love Tim Tebow because he's always leading by example, right? We got some pictures. You know, first he started off with the University of Florida. And by worldly standpoints, he's had a lot of success. He won the Heisman Trophy, 2 national championships. You know, after Florida, he went to play for the Broncos. He had success with the Broncos. You probably heard of Tebowing. He would always get down on one knee. But when you think of Tebow, instead of just football, you think of faith. Now he's playing minor league baseball. But he started a foundation, and he's really doing things for the community, and his heart is really to be authentic and to share his faith. Well, I read a story recently how the University of Florida created a statue in his honor. And they have statues outside the stadium in honor of Heisman Trophy winners. So they made the statue, and as they made the statue, he had one request. You gotta put John 3:16 underneath my eyes. And in college, he used to do that, where he put this black paint, and he'd put John 3:16. And in the national championship, I found this out, when they won, Google said 94 million people Googled John 3:16. 94 million. The word of God was spread, right? And he said, I don't want to be known for football. I want to be known for what's on my uniform, and that's Jesus, right? And so he got a lot of flack, and the ACLU came out and said, you can't have scripture on a statue at a public university. Other organizations said, no, we got to etch that out. And so the athletic director put a stop to it. You know, in the South, they don't mess around, right? And he said, wait, hold up. And then his quote, what he said, the athletic director for Florida, said that scripture verse was just a part of who he was in his uniform. And they kept it. And I love that because you know what? It's true. That John 3:16 underneath his eyes, that was who he was. That was just a part of him. And as I read that, I thought, you know what? Wow. What if that would be said about you and me? If we went to work and someone said, you know what? That's a part of their uniform. That's a part of who they were, who they are, the Word of God. And it's not just what we say. We may not wear, you know, John 3:16 underneath our eyes as we go to class or we go to work, but people want to see Christ in us through our character, our actions. And so where this week can you say, Lord, I want to lead by shining for Jesus so that people can see God in me, and it's just part of my uniform, right? So this is the key to success. And really what God is doing, he's preparing Joshua. He's preparing his heart. Before any foot is stepped into, before there's any situation of battle, he's preparing Joshua's heart because he realizes you got to lead your heart before you lead anyone else. And we're going to see as you read through the book of Joshua, we can't read it today, but I encourage you, read the book of Joshua, because throughout the rest of this whole book, there's victory. Joshua 3, he steps in the Jordan River. He follows the priests and the Ark of the Covenant to get to the promised land. Listens to the instructions of God. Victory. Joshua 6, there's the wall of Jericho. He says, you got to walk around it 7 days, 7 times. Next thing you know, the walls fall down. Not one hand or sword is lifted up to tear down those walls. There's victory because he listens to the instructions of God. And church, that's how we lead. So at the end of the book, turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, and this is the ending, and this is where Joshua is going to pass on his legacy to the next generation. Joshua 24. And in Joshua 24, there's a famous passage that a lot of you may know. And here we see the end of his life, the legacy of family. And we're going to see that the most important ministry we have, right? The most important legacy we have is our family. Because that's what lasts forever too, right? Verse 14, it says this, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, let's say it together, church, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That never gets old, does it? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You see, this is Joshua's farewell speech. He's 110 years old. He's about ready to die. He took over the mantle at the age of 80, and now he's saying, of all the things I could leave with you, of all the things I could tell you, right? Your legacy is with your family. Focus on the family, right? He's had a lot of success as a military leader, as the man, and he's saying, he's taking personal accountability. He's saying, as an individual, as a choice, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You see, here's one thing that's very important. It says this: leading your home begins with leading your heart. Leading your home begins with leading your heart. You can't lead your home without first leading your heart. What does that mean? What does he say? In between this whole idea of choosing the Lord, in between making sure that as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, what does he say? He says, remove the gods, remove the idols. He says, you got to choose. You see, Jesus says you cannot have two gods. You can't serve both God and money. And what he's doing, he's drawing a line in the sand to all the Israelites. And he's saying, hey, if you want to worship those other gods, if you want to have all these other things, he says, that's cool. You can do that. Choose that then. Or choose the God of the universe. Choose Yahweh. And they have to step over that line in the sand and choose. And the same thing God says to us. He says, I'm a jealous God. I want to be on the throne of your heart. I don't want anything to take the place of the throne of your heart but me. That's what the Bible says, to worship the Lord God alone. And he's making sure they're not getting off course. And in verse 23, he says as well, throw away the foreign gods or the idols that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord. You see, there may be some idols in our hearts as well that God is saying, remove that. It could be an idol of pornography that's affecting your marriage. It could be an idol of self. It could be an idol of success, of money. It could be even an idol of work. It can be an idol of peer approval, looking at what others think of you versus what God, how he looks at you. It can be an idol of lust or even an idol of addictions. And God says, I will help you to remove that idol from your heart. But once we remove it, it has to be replaced with something else. And God says, I want to replace it with my love. I want to replace it with my blessings. And he's saying, when you lead your heart, you can lead your home. And that's the truth with Joshua. He's saying, choose this day. You know, lastly, what we choose today is tomorrow's legacy. Today's footprint is tomorrow's legacy. The step we take today impacts our legacy for the future. It's like when you throw a rock in a pond, right? What happens? You throw that little rock in the pond and then there's a ripple effect. And a ripple effect can be a good ripple effect or it can be one that's not good. And God says, I will help you to make your legacy with your family and your life a legacy forever. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. And my parents took that very seriously. And they raised me with the Lord. And even though I strayed away for a certain time, God brought me back. We all make mistakes. We all blow it. We all fall short of the glory of God. But in his grace, he says, I will help you to create that legacy that I want to do through your life. I want to close because I want to honor someone. I stood on this stage less than a month ago and performed a memorial service. And a friend of ours and a member of our church, he goes to our campus. Age of 46, he went to be with the Lord. Six kids. And it was a sudden tragic situation. It was a brain tumor. And it was tough and it was hard. And it was sorrowful. But on this stage, it was so impactful to see four of his children stand up and give a testimony to their father. And the testimony was unbelievable of how much their dad loved them, the time he spent with them, and also how he showed them Jesus and showed them his love for Christ. And then his wife spoke. And behind them, there was a cross that him and his boys actually made. And they wanted to make sure that they knew where he was. And that legacy was not just a legacy for here, but a legacy forever. And it impacted me because I looked up to this man. And the impact was, I want my kids one day when I pass away, generations from them, to say, he served the Lord. And if there's one legacy that God wants for all of us, that this man did, is he's going to see his kids again. He's going to see them in heaven. And there's going to be a reunion with them in heaven because that legacy that's for eternity. If there's one great legacy we can all have, which we witnessed in this service, is the legacy of faith. Amen? And the question today is, what legacy will you leave? What will you be remembered for? And if you just listen to the Lord, follow him day by day, and choose for yourselves whom you will serve, God will do the rest. And then you will see a legacy. as your kids and grandkids will be with you for eternity. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a good Father. We thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally. Even when we mess up, make mistakes, even when we fail, your love is unfailing, your word says. And Lord, Joshua challenged the people of Israel to make a choice, to choose who they will serve. And Lord, every little choice makes a difference. And I pray this morning that we would make a choice, Lord. That we wouldn't leave this room, we wouldn't leave this church without responding to you this morning. And Lord, speak to our hearts. Maybe there's an idol in our heart. There's something that's holding us back. There's something that's keeping us in the wilderness. Lord, we want to inherit your promises and your blessings. Lord, help us to remove that idol, to give it to you, Lord. In exchange, to put on our heart, Lord, your grace and your truth so we can follow you. Help us to choose you, Jesus. And as we choose you, our families are blessed. Our marriages are blessed. Our communities are blessed. And it's just one step at a time. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and your grace. And we do choose you this day, whom we will serve. Because as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And during this time, just take 2 minutes and just pray to the Lord and give him those things and choose him this day.